Psalms 23:3, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is a psalm of David. At the top of your chapter it says that. If you've been here the earlier weeks, you already know that. It's nothing surprising there. But who is David? He's talking about, he's leading me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This isn't like my son who's 6 years old. This is a man here. This is a man who's a warrior. This is a man who's a king. This is a leader. And David is a man of war, but he sees himself as a sheep who needs a protector. It's kind of weird how you think about that. Sometimes you think, I can take care of my own problems. I can do my own thing. I can take care of all the issues that are going to come into my life. But if David thinks he needs a protector, how much more so do we need him? And he's a king. He's, you know, defeated enemies. He's ran from Saul and survived it, having a king after you. He's fought the Philistines, and if my memory might serve me incorrectly, but I don't think he ever actually lost any battles. Think about that. Fought all these battles, and I don't recall any where he actually lost any when he was fighting his enemies. I might be wrong on that, but if he did lose any, they were very, very few. And he's saying, I need a shepherd, I need a protector, I need somebody to lead me. We're going to jump around our Bibles quite a bit today. I also mentioned to Don at the back, I said, this should be an interesting lesson. I said, I taught this whole verse once in junior church. It took me a whole 10 minutes. So, let's go to Isaiah 53:6. And again, Don did a very good job last week talking about sheep. Sheep are not very... If somebody comes after a sheep, they're not going to protect themselves. They're going to sit there and they're going to be slaughtered. They are food for everybody else. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We can't find the right path by ourselves. We need someone to show us. We've gone astray. We're just wandering about. I have a little bit of dealings with sheep. I used to go to Jones's house quite a bit at Cleveland Baptist, and they had a couple sheep. And they're just interesting animals. They just look at you. They just kind of wander about. They don't seem to understand there's anything coming out to eat them. And there's just no reaction from anything. You try to yell at them to get them to go one direction. They're just looking at you like, what? Kind of like kids. Go there. What? And they need protection. We need God to show us where we're supposed to go, because otherwise we'll just go our own direction and we will get lost. Isaiah 58:11, a couple of pages over. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Who is going to guide us? The Lord is. Not the president, not the Sunday school teacher, not the pastor. The Lord will guide us continually. And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He satisfies our souls. Let's go back to the verse. He's going to guide us, and he's going to satisfy us in time of drought. When is the most important time for a shepherd to be taking care of something is when things are going wrong. Sometimes he has to work hard to find the water. The sheep doesn't worry about it. All the sheep does is follow the shepherd, and guess what? Oh, hey, there's water. I'm thirsty. Fantastic. Oh, I'm hungry. Hey, there's food. Fantastic. And make fat thy bones. I didn't really understand what that meant, so I did a little research on it, and I didn't know this. I should have known this, considering the fact I'm 40 years old. There's a few things about the body I should know, and I didn't. Do you know your bones is what makes the blood? So if you have healthy bones, you're going to have good blood, apparently. I didn't know that. So it says here, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. You're going to have a nice garden if you don't have any water? No. It's just going to dry up and just shrivel up, and there's going to be a lot of problems. And the Lord's going to guide thee to all these things. It's not saying that everything is going to be perfect. But he will guide us, and as we go through the rest of the chapter, we'll get to some of that stuff. I won't, but somebody else. Well, I haven't read what the next lesson is. I have. I had to get this one ready. Psalms 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. He's a rock and fortress. Fortresses are not an offensive weapon. A fortress is somewhere you go for protection. A rock is hard to move. There's very few things can remove a rock. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, that's a very important thing, lead me and guide me. God's our protection. He's the fortress. If you've read any military history, or even if you haven't, you know what do people do when they're in danger? They go to the fort. If somebody comes and raids your lands, the Indians were attacking your homesteads, you go to the fort. If the barbarians are invading, they go to the fortresses and get in the cities to defend themselves up on the walls. Why? Because that's where you're safe. That's where you have the advantage. You don't take it by accident. It takes a long time, and that's where you're safe. And nobody's going to attack a fortress unless they're ready for it. And you go there for protection. A rock. A lot of fortresses were made out of rocks. Why? Because it's very hard to knock them down. And this is where we're supposed to go. And it says again, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Again, we have to be letting him guide us. Sometimes he takes us to a place of refuge. God doesn't leave you out there where you can get hurt continually. Sometimes things come into your life, but eventually it ends, and he is going to protect you in the end. I've had things that have happened in my life. It's kind of like a boxer. You take a hit, you take a hit. You get tied up in the ropes, and the guy just goes to work on you, just punching you over and over again. You're like, when is it going to end? Well, for that boxer, sometimes the only thing that ends it is the ringing of the bell where the round stops and the other guy has to back off. Or sometimes the ref will come in, and we can look at Jesus as our ref and pushing the devil away from you. It's just one of those things. Things go wrong. I've had a lot of things go wrong. Sometimes I have things go right. Sometimes you can have a couple years go wrong. But it does end. Exodus 14:13. I don't jump nearly around this much in the back. In fact, in the back, I would be ending right about now because their attention span would be gone. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall not see them again no more forever. Israel is in between a rock and a hard place. They got their enemies coming after them. But Moses isn't worried about them. Egypt's coming after them. You're a slave. You don't know how to fight. All you know how to do is basically build pyramids or whatever your job was. The Egyptian army is coming after you with chariots. Let's think of that as, the tanks of the old ages. They're coming after you. What do you do? Somebody sounds like they're in the wall. So what do you do? Usually at this point, if God didn't intervene, you die. That's your choices. You get slaughtered because here comes the Egyptians and their chariots. Chariots will just rip you apart. And what does Moses say? Send the people, fear ye not, stand still, which is also a really bad idea if somebody's trying to kill you. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you. God led them there. That's the interesting thing. He led them there. He put them right where he wanted them to be. You've got water on this side, and you've got the Egyptians coming from you the other side. He did it on purpose. He was going to protect them, and he proved himself. He was going to show the Israelite people, I can take care of this. It's not a problem for me. I've got this. They have nothing that I don't know about. They have nothing that I created. I can do whatever I want here. I'm going to take care of it. When you run into a hard time in your life, God knows about it. And if you're following him, it's going to be okay. If you're not following him, well, then maybe it's not going to be okay. If you're out of position. I did this in a junior church last week. I won't use my son because he's not in here, but if my son is walking next to me, I'll use my daughter for an example. We were going for a walk once. She was really little. She's at the age where there's a few words that come out and they're not sentences yet. And she's walking. It's one of the things where you get your hand down there and she's like walking like this with me. It was on my street, and this big dog decides it wants to come out and mess with us on the street. You know what happened? I got between her and the dog. Dog's trying to circle. I stay in front of the dog. Is anything going to hurt my daughter? No. Something going to hurt me? Maybe. I know a few tricks. In martial arts, they taught me how to fight a dog, and I'm going through my head, this is what I need to do. I need to basically put my arm deep in its throat as I have to protect myself and my daughter. She's not going to get hurt while she's with me, unless I'm dead. I'm going to go down first. That's how it works. If I'm with next to God, is anything going to happen to me that I can't handle, that He's not going to take care of? You know, why do some of these bad things happen? Sometimes bad things happen because God's doing that to grow in your life. Other times, God doesn't protect you because you're not near Him anymore. If my daughter's next to me, I can protect her. I don't have the mic thing because I said I was only going to use this. But if she's not with me, she's over here.
Can I protect her anymore as well? If she's over there?
No. Why? She's not next to me. She's not where she's supposed to be. God can't protect you if you're not with Him. And He'll let things come into your life to get your attention back. Proverbs 8, 13 through 21. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. This is what God hates. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. God can take out a leader whenever He wants to. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honors are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the ways of righteousness, in the midst of paths of judgment. That I may cause those that love me inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. He leads us in paths of righteousness so He can bless us. He wants to bless us. That's the end of it. Doesn't say maybe He's not going to bless us on this planet, which as I get older, I care less and less about that. I'm 40 years old. I'm basically halfway through my shelf life. That's how I look at it. I'm 40. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm in the middle of my life. Some people go through the midlife crisis at this point. I don't. I just look at my balding head and go, well, that's how it's going to be. But He's going to lead us in righteousness. It may not be till heaven when we get there. And really, the older you get, the less you think, does it really matter? I mean, really, I'm already pretty much probably halfway through my life. Who cares what's going on here? And He leads us in paths of righteousness so He can bless us. This choice silver, this gold, it may not be till we get to heaven. But how long is heaven? It's forever. Down here, we're just here for a few minutes. Who knows how long? It could end today. It could end next week. It could end, I could be like my grandfather and lived into his 90s. I don't know. Psalms 5, chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto thy voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. It's a problem with our country. We don't pray enough to God. We keep trying to depend on our leaders to protect us, and they don't do a very good job of it. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, and the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. I love that word. He's not going to be happy with the bloody and deceitful man. That's a good thing, because no, I don't think anybody likes a deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and the fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. And here's the most important verse for this lesson. They're all important. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He wants us to stay on the path. Bad things happen if you get off the path. You ever been in a park where it says, stay on the path? Why does it say that? What happens when you go off the path? Well, there could be something you could fall into. I read a Reader's Digest years and years ago. I was just a little kid. And it was some of the guys were talking about their military experiences over in Vietnam. And there was a patrol. They came up to an open area. And they're like, well, we have to get across it. How do we want to do this? Several different ways we can do it. They decide they're going to send one guy sprinting across one at a time. So they all get ambushed at the same time as somebody's waiting for them. So the one guy goes running off across the meadow. And they hear this horrifying scream, ah! And then nothing. And they're all there, like, okay, what just happened? So then two of them go off, different directions. So they come up, and then they hear the scream again. And they're like, okay, there's more screaming, what's going on? So then they decide they're all going to go across, ready for fighting. And they all come off, and the guy says, we find ourselves hanging at the end of a ravine trying to pull ourselves back up. They didn't learn on a path. They didn't know what was on the other side. They went rushing into it, and they went right off the side of a ravine and were trying to pull themselves back off. That's what happens when you get off the path. There's things in the path you don't want. There's poison ivy. There's poison oak. There's certain areas, lions and tigers and bears. Who knows what's over there? Stay on the path that God leads you on. Stay with the shepherd. Don't go on a different path. The shepherd has a plan. He leadeth me. So does he know where he's going if he's leading you? He has a path. His path is righteousness. If you're wondering what God wants you to do and the other thing seems a little shady, or maybe it seems wrong, like maybe it's a sin in there somewhere, guess what? That's the wrong way. That's not his path. He has a path and it's always going to be righteousness. He has a purpose. He's taking you on that path for a reason. It's for his namesake. It's not about us. It's about him. A soldier goes to fight for his country. It's not about him. It's about the flag that they're carrying. About that little thing on his arm. It's about his country. We're the same way. My wife's like, you're always using military examples. Well, we're in combat. We are in combat. We're soldiers for God. And we're doing one of two things. We're either doing our job or we're not doing our job. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with all the things that have been in the news lately. There are people who want to hurt our country and those who aren't like them. But I do know one thing. If a soldier goes into combat, he either does his job correctly or he doesn't do it at all. And sometimes he has to fight. That's what a soldier is about. We have to fight. We have to do things. Sometimes it's not very fun what we have to do. Sometimes people aren't going to like us. I heard a saying once. Doing what is popular always isn't right, and doing what is right isn't always popular. Doesn't matter what's popular. You do what's right. I don't always do things that are in my own best interest. I have children. Sometimes I put their interests above myself. I've gone on some vacations, which were not somewhere I would take myself. I took them. I went to this horrible place before many times. Those of you who have kids, it's an evil, evil place for adults. It's called Chuck E. Cheese. You do not go there as an adult happily. You go there because your kids want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. It's in their best interest, not in yours. The food is bad. It's noisy. And the games are, how are you enjoying this? Whatever. Probably shouldn't say that, but the kids aren't in here, so it's okay. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. I'm taking some of you have been to Chuck E. Cheese from that. Oh, you missed it. How about you borrow Timmy and you can take him? He'll have fun. You can have fun watching him. He's giving you good advice. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, the king Saul, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. A lion and a bear. Now, I'm not sure, but I think advice was watching sheep, and a lion came and took anything out of the flock, I'd go away. And I, David, went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Hey, Mr. Gasser, why don't you stand up for a second? He's the tallest guy in the church. Everybody take a look at him when he stands up here. Take him a second. Sorry, I caught him by surprise. All right. Now, let's imagine him going out, and he's in full body armor. And he's yelling at you guys, come out and send a man against me. And Saul, he can sit down now. And Saul, what does the Bible say about him? He was the tallest guy in Israel. He was the king who should have taken out the giant. I think he probably should have gone and done it. But he didn't do it. And who does he end up sending? It's like sending Timmy up against Don here. Little Timmy coming up there. And he's going to fight Don Gassler. And Don would probably say pretty much the same thing that Goliath said to him. What a mad dog. What do you send this little kid out to fight me? Let's continue. Let's go to 43. Verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh from the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. God is going to deliver it. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He says, I'm not going to kill you. God's going to kill you. He's going to use me. Did God lead him? I find it very interesting here. He's lifting up God's name at this point. He's not lifting up his name. He says, God's going to deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to do it as a child, basically a young person. And I'm going to kill you, you great man of war, who's huge and everybody's scared of. And God's going to let me take you out. I'm going to do it with a rock and a slingshot, basically. One of these things, you spin round and round, you let go with one of the two strings, and it goes flying out, and it's going to take you in the head. I heard these morons once at college talking about military weapons during that time. They said the Israelis had sling warriors. They used slingshots and weapons as weapons. But the Bible says that he went and got rocks. He didn't use one of the weapons that the military used, which were big circle rocks that fired out like little muskets at their enemy. He went and got what? Stones. And he used it on what? He threw it into it and he hit the Goliath in the head. God took him out. Ezekiel 36. I'm cheating. I have my pages marked so I don't have to scramble around. Ezekiel 36, verse 16 through 21. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed throughout the countries according to the way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. It means to be in bad testimonies, no matter where they go. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of this land. And I'm going to go ahead and go through 23, I guess, here. Therefore, say unto verse 22. No, sorry, verse 21. I have pity for my holy name. God had pity on what? His holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. I'm not doing this for you. You're defiling my name. Which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. He's going to give them their land back. For who? He's lifting up his own name. He's not lifting up mine. You guys are looking around. Maybe I gave you the wrong thing. It was Ezekiel 36, 16 through 23. And I said the wrong thing. I apologize. I don't know what I said. Okay. God is lifting up his own name. He wants it exalted. That's our job. It's like a banner holding up a flag in the military. We took and there's the monument in Washington, D.C. that show the guys holding up the flag. They weren't holding up their name tags. They weren't holding up their state flags. They were holding up the U.S. flag. God wants us, that's what God wants us to do. He wants his name exalted. Our job is to lift up his name always. And he doesn't care what people think about us while we're doing it. He doesn't care. We went to Iraq the second time. A lot of countries had problems with it. You think our soldiers cared? You think we care what Germany thought? Do you think we care what France thought? Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and nobody, we don't care. They were soldiers of the U.S. They only cared what the U.S. thought, and they did what they were supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're in a hostile country. Our country is becoming more hostile towards us. The world's always been hostile towards us. Do you ever think the world's nice and, oh, we can get along with them? They killed our God. I mean, let's just get that straight. Jesus came, they killed him. It just doesn't get much worse than that. And what they do to the 12 apostles, how many of them lived to a ripe old age? One. The rest of them got killed. Most of the prophets, the Bible even says, my prophets did ye slay. They don't like us. They're not going to be our friends. My wife sometimes, you know, I haven't seemed to have any friends at work. I have acquaintances at work. I can't be their friends. I can't. Why? They're not saved. Their idea of being friends is going to a place called Moriarty's, which is a bar right across the street. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go to their parties where they're getting drunk. They're having a Christmas party. It sounded fun. They're going to spend $30 to $50 a person. Sounds like a lot of fun. Then I saw where some of the places they're thinking of going, and the fact that the company, M Trust, is willing, if you get drunk, to pay for the taxi to get you home. You're anticipating drunk people? Come on, guys, really? You can't do that. I can't go to their party because I know there's going to be a bunch of drunk people there. Is that going to be popular with me? No? Do I worry about it? Not really. If I go there, then I'm just like them, and then what testimony do I have? Think about it. If I ruin my testimony in front of these people, they're probably even more likely to continue on their path to going to hell. Because they're going to like, he's like us. He has what we have. Why do I need what he says he has? He doesn't have anything different. I have to be different. I have to be weird. I have to be odd. Because in reality, they're the weird ones. They're the ones that are out of whack with God. They're using their bodies for themselves, which isn't what they were designed to do, and they wonder why they're never happy. It's like using a vehicle or a tool for the wrong job. And I've used tools for the wrong job. It doesn't work well. You may at this moment have an opportunity to lift up his name on the path that he has put you on. If you get an opportunity to exalt him and prove he is who he is and say who he is. For his name's sake, we need to trust him and find the grace we need in every circumstance of life. We need to just follow him. Do what he tells us to do. You're like, I don't like where I'm going in my life. Are you in his will? I'm not saying everything is going to be great. I've had some horrible things happen to me when I'm in God's will. I've had some great things happen to me when I'm in God's will. But he's never left me. He's always been there for me. I've always found something in the end. Sometimes you're stressed out. Sometimes you're tired. I understand that. But you know what? He doesn't ask us to do anything he hasn't done. Did Jesus come on this planet? Yeah. Has he ever been tired? Has he ever had people falsely accuse him? Has he ever had people not like him? Has he ever done things that weren't popular? Yeah. And they killed him for it. He was really unpopular there at the end. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do for us. And he was also willing in the end to do what for us? Die for us. He may not ask us to die for him, but he needs us to be willing to do that. Years ago, it was weird. I was actually getting convicted on, that's good, weird conviction. Whoa, that's weird. I was getting convicted, maybe I was supposed to be a missionary. I had never felt that conviction before. And so finally I said, okay, God, that's what you want me to do. I'm going to do that. And you know what happened? As soon as I said that, I was willing to. It was almost like he said, I don't want you to be a missionary. I just want you to be willing to. And that wasn't my plan for you. I want you to stay here. Besides, you can't learn a foreign language. We tried that in high school. It didn't go well. 2 years of Spanish and you know like 3 words. And God's going to use me as a missionary. It has to be Australia, England, U.S. That's pretty much it. Well, he just wanted me to be willing to. And then the urge left. I haven't felt that since then. Do you want me to be a missionary? No. But you want me to be willing to.